Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, original Christianity comes out of the whole Bible and the New Testament. And let's understand that God does not want us Judaizing. Now, there are people who say, if we keep the Sabbath and commandments of God, we are Judaizing. But Judaism is not in the Bible. We have seen that Judaism is a compilation of the traditions of religious Jews. And they have a book which is called the Code of Jewish Law, in which there are thousands and thousands of laws to govern your thoughts.
First, we should stand with feet together and say,
Yisgadal v'yisgadash Shemei Rabba.
We wait for the congregation to say the following.
Amen.
Then we take three steps back, and with the feet together, first we bow to the right, then the center, and then to the left. And then three steps forwards. That ends the mourner's Kaddish.
To govern everything that you do. And it literally takes away your free will. Now, God doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to use your free will to come to Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, and He will be there to bless you and help you and forgive you your sins. But as we have seen in the previous segment, commandment keeping is required because that's how God wants us to live. Not by the rules and commandments and traditions of men. Now, as we saw during the days of Jesus, Jesus exposed all the traditions of the Jews as rejecting the commandments of God. And that kind of behavior was vain. And God doesn't want that. Now, in order for the church to go to the whole world, God had to do some things in the New Testament church to break the yoke of Judaism. Now, Judaism was that which men added to the laws of God, and it actually then made void the laws and commandments of God. Now, we're going to see a good example of this in Acts, the 10th chapter, and a good example of something that God had to specially do to show the Apostle Peter that Judaism was to have no place in the church. See, because Christianity was to spread out to the whole world. And so all of these traditions of the Jews that they had made and that were practiced and followed in Jesus' day and are still followed today.
Welcome to the Unchased Fire Bethel Emeth congregation for our discussion of how to wash our hands for bread. If your ring has a stone in it, then you definitely need to remove it. It's particularly important not to talk from the time that you begin the washing until the blessing is made. Never do we interrupt between a mitzvah and its blessing. So if we want to pour the water on our hands, we want it to cover all the way from our wrist all the way to the very ends of the fingertips. And you pour it twice. Hold our hands up and say, Baruch atah Ad Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidshanu Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Netilat Yadayim. And then we dry the hands. Do not make a blessing while you're drying your hands. That wouldn't be proper. You should focus on the blessing. You shouldn't make a blessing after you dry your hands, because then it's completely over. Rather, you should make the blessing before you dry your hands. You also try to hold the hands up so that if there is any water, it falls down on your wrist and not the other way around. The water from your above your wrist is impure, and you wouldn't want it to fall below the wrist and then to fall on top of the wrist. That would be improper. So we want to keep the hands up when we're drying our hands. You dry them, you remain silent, and then you've accomplished the washing of the hands.
They do not bring us to God. So God had to intervene directly to show what he wanted. So here in Acts, the 10th chapter, let's begin right here in verse 1. This is earth-shaking change. Verse 1. Now there was in Caesarea a certain man named Cornelius, a centurion of a band that is called the Italian band. So here they are, Italians. Okay? And they weren't circumcised. And circumcision, you know, became a big problem in the New Testament church. And the Pharisees insisted that unless grown men were circumcised physically, they couldn't be saved. And that was a big problem in the church. So here we see God now dealing directly with an Italian Roman soldier, centurion. Verse 2. A devout man who also feared God. See, the Jews in Judaism say that only they worship God. Well, here you have someone that they hated and despised and wouldn't allow into the synagogue, that he was one who feared God. With all his house, and it was a big house, both in giving many alms to the people and in beseeching God continually in prayer, praying to God. Judaism doesn't allow that. But God desires it, yea, commands it. Verse 3, an extraordinary thing happened. And God had to do this in order to show the whole church and to show the Gentile community in the future, Judaism would never become a part of the true church of God or true original Christianity. Verse 3, he clearly saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. Now think of that. A holy angel of God coming to an uncircumcised Gentile and telling him his prayers are being heard and answered. In Judaism, that's unthinkable. But as he fixed his eyes on him, he became afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have gone up for a memorial before God." That's amazing. Think on that. Those who were rejected and cut off and had nothing to do with God, now God is bringing. So he's commanded, And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname Peter. He is lodging with a certain Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. The word must do means obligated to do. What are Christians obligated to do? So the angel left. He sent the soldiers. They came to find Peter.
You must come with us. Centurion Cornelius wants you.
And on the next day, God began dealing with Peter directly because this was an earth-moving change. So let's read it. Verse 9. And on the next day, about the sixth hour, as these were journeying and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, and he became very hungry and desired to eat. And while they were preparing the meal, a trance fell upon him. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him like a great sheet, bound up by the four corners, and let down to the earth, in which were all the four-footed beasts of the earth, including the wild beast and the creeping things and the birds of heaven. Then a voice came to him saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Now notice Peter's answer. Very interesting. He gave a scriptural answer. But Peter said, "In no way, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now let's stop right here. And let's define the word common. Common, as found in the code of Jewish law, is this. We'll use the example of the kitchen. The Jews have a law that if anyone has a servant that is a Gentile working in the kitchen of the house, that there must be a Jew there to supervise the handling and cooking of the food. Now, when the Gentile handles it, then all that food becomes common, having nothing to do with clean or clean unmeats, because the Jews wouldn't have unclean meats in there anyway. So they're called common. Now then, the law states that if it wasn't supervised by a Jew, then it became unclean. Even the things in the Bible that God says are clean to eat would become unclean because the tradition of the Jews had it that a Gentile cannot make food for Jews unsupervised by a Jew. You never heard of that before, have you, huh? But that's the way it is. So Peter gave the scriptural answer. He said that he'd never eaten anything common or unclean. So you know what common is, okay? And the church of God had to be formed and taken away from all Judaism, which then is a good insight for you to understand that if anybody says, "You're Judaizing if you keep the commandments of God," doesn't have a clue as to what the truth is. Now continuing verse 15, "And a voice again came the second time saying, 'What God has cleansed, you are not to call common.'" Because a Jewish tradition said that a Gentile who is circumcised is common and can only come into the synagogue to where the Gentiles sit. So this happened three times. Peter didn't know what it was. Peter had to think on it. He went with the three soldiers back to Cornelius, and here is the first major action of God done unilaterally by him, spiritually directed to Cornelius and to Peter to open salvation to the Gentiles. Without physical circumcision. Let's read on. Verse 21, Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Look, I'm the one you are seeking. For what purpose have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, one who fears God, one who has a good report by the whole nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to listen to words from you." Then he called him into the lodge there, and the next day Peter went with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the next day they came to Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his kinsmen and his intimate friends. And then that's all the soldiers and everyone there. So there must have been a couple of hundred people in this big house. It wasn't a house, it was like a palace there, waiting for Peter to come. Now notice what happened. Verse 25, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet, worshiping him." Now, a little sidebar on this. Peter did not say, "That's really good of you to do that because I'm the first pope of the Roman Catholic Church." No. Peter was never in Rome. You go to a series we've done right here on Church at Home. Was Peter ever in Rome? And the answer is no. Never. Notice Peter's answer, because this was the revelation of the vision. A lot of people say the revelation of the vision was that God cleaned all unclean foods and made them clean to eat. No, this is talking about human beings. He used animals as a type to show Peter what he should do. Let's see what Peter said, because here is the first breach of removing Judaism from the church. And it came to Peter. Verse 26, "But Peter raised him up, saying, 'Stand up, for I myself am a man also.'" Equated himself equal with the centurion, and the centurion him. Now, Peter, obviously, was circumcised. But the centurion, obviously, being an Italian, was not circumcised. He equated them on the same level. Here is the key verse which shows what Judaism was really doing to separate people. Verse 28, "And he said to them, 'You know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with or come near to anyone of another race.'" Now, he was quoting a law of Judaism, which was this: they could not associate with Gentiles. They could not be with Gentiles. They could not even come near a Gentile. So this is what Judaism is, and it still is today. Strict Orthodox Judaism does exactly that. Read it again. "You know that it is unlawful," a Jewish traditional law, not the law of God. You can't find that law in the Old Testament. No, even in the first five books of the law, God shows that the laws of God are for all people, whether they're from the Israelites or whether they're strangers living in the midst of them. And they all had one law, God's, not tradition. You know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with or come near to anyone of another race, but God has shown me that no man should be called common or unclean. Common was circumcised, could attend the synagogue. Unclean was you can't go near them, you can't associate with them, they are uncircumcised. Now, verse 33, here's the whole account. Therefore, I sent for you at once, and you did well to come. So then we are all present before God to hear all things that have been commanded you by God. See? Now, stripping away all Judaism, coming to the commandments of God, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. This was a vast, monumental change that the church was bringing, and all of those who were the believers were in the area of Judea at that time. Continuing now, but in every nation, the one who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the commandments of God. Psalm 119:172. Yes. Can the Gentiles keep the commandments? Yes. See? Now, we'll see a little later. In the New Testament, there is a circumcision required, but it's a greater than a physical one, and it's required of all men and all women, which is the circumcision of the heart, which then that is taking away the hardness and carnality of the human heart that is hostile to God and against God, and you come to God in repentance and humility and receive the Spirit of God. See? Now that's what this is all about here in Acts the 10th chapter. Now Peter is summing up his whole sermon down here in verse 42. And he, that is Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to fully testify that it is he who has been appointed by God to be judge of the living and dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives remission of sins through his name. Now that's a summary of what he was saying. Okay? Now, in order to show by the power of God how much God wanted this changed, and it's recorded in the New Testament for that, God sent the Holy Spirit to them before they were baptized because that was necessary to show Peter that God was breaking the yoke of Judaism. And now today, there are a lot of people wanting to come back and put the yoke of Judaism on those who are true believers.
Unfold the tallis and open it wide, kiss its upper edge, and swing it around so that it's hanging behind you. Begin the blessing and start to wrap yourself. Now gather the two right corners, and then the two left corners. Place the left corners up to the left side of the chest, and the right corners over the left shoulder. Now all four tzitzis are on the left side, two in front and two behind.
Notice how the bottom hem of the top part of the tallis comes down over my eyes.
Stay wrapped up like this for about 3 seconds. And now let the tallis fall down around your shoulders like a cape.
If it's a Shabbat or a Yom Tov holiday, I can go ahead and start my prayers. But because it's a weekday, I'm going to go put on my tefillin right now. And if you want to see how it's done, you can see that in its own DIY.
Now then, verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all those who were listening to the message. And the believers from the circumcision were astonished. That is, those who came with Peter, they were astonished because this was new to the Jews. The Jews buried in Judaism. See? And even though these who accompanied Peter were converted, it was new to them. This was so astonishing. This was absolutely earth-shaking, if we can put it that way. Were astonished, as many as had come with Peter, that upon the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. For they heard them speak in other languages and magnify God, just like it happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts the 2nd chapter, when there were 3,000 converted from the crowd there on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Then Peter responded by saying, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have also received the Holy Spirit as we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they besought him to remain for a number of days. Now think about this for a minute. Peter stayed there for a number of days when before the vision, before God intervening with this, to break the yoke of Judaism, God had to show Peter by this outstanding and unique act of God that God was going to deal equally with Jews and Gentiles, and the Gentiles did not have to be physically circumcised. Because when they received the Spirit of God, they were circumcised in heart. See? Which is a greater circumcision. So, when it comes back to us, that if we keep the commandments of God and keep the Sabbath and keep His holy days and love God, believe God, and God shows us what's happening in the latter days, reveals prophecy to us that we can understand, because the promises that God gives all take place. So here, Judaism is not a revelation of Moses, but it is a religion of men. So you need to get this book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. And we have another complete in-depth study in the New Testament covering every scripture, every aspect of this problem, called Scripturalism versus Judaism. And this is important to understand, because in these last days, we are going to have different people from all categories of religions coming after us to try and take us away from loving God and keeping His commandments and preaching the truth. And this is a very important part. In fact, this is absolutely fundamental for all of us to understand. God is no respecter of persons. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.